Hello, this is Sharon, and I'm bringing you the Panagraph for today, which is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. We'll begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled, Paving the Way. Reconstruction of a deteriorating section of West College Avenue has some normal motorists excited. When you get on that stretch, there, it's amazing how bad that road is, said Mario Filipponi, a sales associate with Mario Santino's Pizza. Filipponi, who works within the company's distribution warehouse on College Avenue, said the potholes along that section of road are so large they will shake the paint off our trucks. Normal is moving forward with the $9.35 million rehabilitation project of West College Avenue from White Oak Road to Rivian Motorway. The town council unanimously approved Monday, using $370,000 in motor fuel tax funds to partner with Farnsworth Group for the first two designing phases of the rehabilitation project. Project design is set to begin in November, with construction in 2023. Filipponi said the section of West College Avenue has caused concern for several businesses in the area due to the large potholes and tears in the road. He said the dilapidated road has contributed to some additional wear and tear on company vehicles. We've had a lot of extra wear and tear on our trucks this year, he said. Phase one design will include preliminary engineering, said Ryan Otto, town engineer. Phase two will include more detailed design elements and construction document preparation. The town is using a three-tiered approach to funding, utilizing MFT funds and state and federal grants, Otto said. Normal estimates spending $1.37 million in MFT funds and $3.08 million in federal surface transportation funds for design and construction of the project. In addition, the town is pursuing a $5 million grant through the Rebuild Illinois Public Infrastructure Program. The competitive grant program, administered through the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, provides funding for public infrastructure improvements to provide economic growth in Illinois. In addition to the rehabilitation project, the town approved on Monday a new road assessment program that will help when prioritizing future road repairs. West College Avenue is an arterial street that provides access to commercial, industrial, and residential properties. Town staff have said rehabilitation of the rapidly deteriorating road could attract future economic growth and investment in the area. In addition to connecting to several businesses in the area, the road also provides access to the south side of Rivian. We're excited to see the level of investment in infrastructure from Normal on this project, said Zach Dietmeyer, a spokesman for Rivian, adding that the road is vital for employees and suppliers. With an increase in traffic and supply shipments, Dietmeyer said the electric vehicle startup has identified West College Avenue a concern due to the narrow road without room to navigate around potholes and other tears in the road. It's definitely something that we've noticed, he said, adding that some suppliers of the plant have mentioned the issue. It's been in rough shape for some time. And when you think about it from a supplier perspective, with sometimes fragile parts coming to the facility, it can cause some level of wear and tear before the parts are on site that we really want to avoid, Dietmeyer said. Within the rehabilitation plans, town staff have indicated there is some potential for a multi-use path and sidewalk, as well as intersection improvements, depending on a traffic analysis and potential upgrades to the railroad crossing and signals. Rivian also has voiced support for potential bike and pedestrian paths along West College Avenue, which would increase access to the facility, Dietmeyer said. Accessibility and mobility are top priorities for Rivian. We have employees who are highly active, and as we hire more and more of them, safety is a huge concern. 9 more die of virus in Central Illinois. 9 more Central Illinoisans have died of COVID-19 as the virus claimed another life in McLean County, 4 more in Tazewell County, and 4 more in Woodford County. The deaths were reported as state officials are warning of a second wave of cases. Governor J.B. Pritzker said earlier this week that COVID cases, positivity rates, hospitalizations, and deaths are rising statewide. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said Tuesday that the county's 31st COVID-related death was a woman in her 90s with underlying health conditions who lived in a long-term care facility. In Woodford County, Health Department spokeswoman Andrea Ingwersen reported 4 additional deaths, a woman in her 80s, 2 women in their 90s, and a man in his 90s. All 4 were residents of Heritage Health El Paso and had comorbidities, meaning they had more than one underlying health condition. The 4 deaths mean that Woodford County has had 15 COVID-related fatalities. The county also reported 5 new COVID cases to bring its total to 565. In Tazewell County, Health Department Communications Manager Sarah Sparkman reported 4 additional deaths, a man in his 50s, a man in his 80s, and 2 men in their 90s. While that health department doesn't report comorbidities, Sparksman said that one of the men in his 90s had been a resident of Villas of Hollybrook in Pekin, which is experiencing a COVID outbreak. Those deaths bring Tazewell County's number of COVID fatalities to 50, Sparksman said. Tazewell County also reported 43 new COVID cases, bringing that county's total to 2,467 confirmed cases since March. In McLean County, McKnight also reported 23 new COVID cases, meaning 99 additional cases have been reported so far this week, and 3,881 since March 19th. 15 McLean County residents were hospitalized with COVID on Tuesday, 1 more than on Monday, although none of them were in intensive care. But 51 additional people have recovered. McKnight reported that 3,571 county residents have been released from isolation since the virus hit McLean County in March. That compares with 3,520 on Monday. Remaining in home isolation were 264 people, 30 fewer than on Monday. The county's 7-day COVID positivity rate, or the percentage of tests that have come back positive in the previous week, was 3.2%, compared with 3.7% on Monday. Of more than 90,000 tests of county residents since March, 4.3% have come back positive, unchanged from Monday. While the age group with the highest number of COVID cases in McLean County remained people in their 20s, Illinois State University student COVID numbers continued to decline after peaking in early September. ISU said 24 students had tested positive out of 1,197 on-campus tests in the previous 7 days, a positivity rate of 2%. Since testing began on campus on August 17th, there were 1,404 positive results out of 13,203 tests, a positivity rate of 10.6%. ISU also reported that 1,347 students have recovered from the virus as of Tuesday. There were 655 people tested Monday at the COVID-19 testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, the county's emergency management agency said. That testing site, operated by Reditus Laboratories at 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington, is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, except holidays and during severe weather. People may pre-register by going to testdirectly.com/McLean. Elsewhere in central Illinois, LaSalle County Health Department reported 22 new COVID cases, bringing that county's total to 2,212. Statewide, Illinois Department of Public Health reported 3,714 new COVID cases on Tuesday and 41 additional deaths. Since March, 350,875 Illinoisans have been sickened by the virus, and 9,277 have died. Pritzker said the suburban Chicago counties of DuPage, Kane, Kankakee, and Will, which comprise regions 7 and 8 of Pritzker's COVID-19 recovery plan, have had unacceptable numbers of consecutive days with increasing test positivity rates and hospital admissions. As a result, he imposed resurgence mitigations to take effect starting Friday. These are the same that he imposed on Region 1, Northwestern Illinois, on October 3rd, and which start Thursday in Region 5, which comprises far southern Illinois. The restrictions prohibit indoor bar and restaurant service and require food and bar service to end at 11 p.m. That's also when gambling casinos must close. Meetings and gatherings must be limited to 25 people and must be social distanced. The statewide COVID positivity rate for cases as a percent of total tests for the past week was 5.5%, compared with 5.4% the day before. As of Monday night, 2,261 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID, with 489 of them in intensive care and 195 on ventilators. As we look forward to enjoying fall and winter holiday celebrations, it is important to remember that gatherings of families and friends, crowded parties, and travel may put people at increased risks for COVID-19, McKnight said. McKnight asked people to assess COVID levels in communities where they are planning celebrations to determine whether to postpone, cancel, or limit the number of attendees. Celebrating virtually or with members of your own household poses the lowest risk, she said. Don't participate in an in-person festivity if anyone in your household has been diagnosed with COVID, has symptoms, may have been exposed to others with the virus, or is at increased risk of severe illness from COVID, she said. If you develop symptoms such as fever, cough, or shortness of breath, or if you test positive, contact the host and others who attended, as well as your healthcare provider. McKnight advised that everyone in public wear a mask, use hand sanitizer, and keep at least 6 feet away from others outside of their household. The following COVID-19 case totals and deaths since March were reported on Tuesday. McLean County, 3,881 cases, 31 deaths. Tazewell, 2,467 cases, 50 deaths. Woodford, 565 cases, 15 deaths. Livingston, 604 cases, 10 deaths. Logan, 554 cases, 5 deaths. LaSalle, 2,212 cases, 60 deaths. DeWitt, 263 cases, 3 deaths. Piatt, 209 cases, 0 deaths. Ford, 176 cases, 10 deaths. Marshall, 141 cases, 3 deaths. And Champaign, 5,661 cases, 28 deaths. Today's Flick Fact question: can you name the most popular name for a street in Bloomington Normal? One that already is the name of three streets and once was even the name of Empire Street. And that's before it was changed because of confusion with all the others. The answer? There is already a Grove Street in Bloomington and a Grove Street in Normal, and also a Dry Grove Street in Normal, and Empire Street used to be Grove as well. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, October 21st. It's the 295th day of 2020. We have 71 days left in this year. Today's highlight: on October 21st, 1879, Thomas Edison perfected a workable electric light at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. On this day in 1797, the U.S. Navy frigate Constitution, also known as Old Ironsides, was christened in Boston's harbor. In 1892, school children across the U.S. observed Columbus Day, according to the Gregorian date, by reciting for the first time the original version of the Pledge of Allegiance, written by Francis Bellamy for the Youth's Companion. In 1941, superheroine Wonder Woman made her debut in All-Star Comics issue number 8, published by All American Comics Incorporated of New York. In 1944, during World War II, U.S. troops captured the German city of Aachen. In 1945, women in France were allowed to vote in parliamentary elections for the first time. In 1960, Democrat John F. Kennedy and Republican Richard M. Nixon clashed in their fourth and final presidential debate in New York. And in 1966, 144 people, 116 of them children, were killed when a coal waste landslide engulfed a school and 20 houses in Aberfan, Wales. And how time flies locally from the back pages of the pantograph. 100 years ago, October 21, 1920. Police collared three suspected booze runners last night. Acting on a tip, police staked out the location of a suspected stash of illegal whiskey and arrested the three when they showed up with a small amount. The booze is thought to come from a still near Toluca. 75 years ago, October 21st, 1945. Normal police arrested 8 teenage Halloween pranksters for several window-breaking incidents along Normal Avenue. The 8, ages 14 to 17, will pay for the damage they did. In Bloomington, 3 teenage boys paid $54 in fines for their Thursday night vandalism spree. 50 years ago, October 21, 1970. Fog was thick in McLean County. In half an hour, 3 people were hurt in traffic accidents. Farther north, 2 men were killed near Winona. On Washington Street, the State Farm building was barely visible from the front door of the Castle Theater a block away. And 25 years ago, October 21st, 1995. Seizing on the tone of last weekend's Million Man March, McLean County law enforcement agencies began asking gang members to turn in their illegal guns. Police even promised limited amnesty from prosecution. The goal is to reduce street violence. Heartland cyber attack corrections could take months. It could take several months to restore everything impacted by the cyber attack on Heartland Community College earlier this month, President Keith Cornile told the Board of Trustees at its meeting Tuesday night. Also at the meeting, the board approved a new agriculture program, authorized borrowing up to $10.1 million, and indicated the district's intent to levy an equity tax. Cornile said the cyber attack, discovered October 5th, affected 60% of the college's servers and impacted its email, website, and phone systems. Some systems may never be restored, he said. He said the information technology team quickly isolated the intrusion and got core functions operating in several days. As of today, we do not have verified evidence that any data was compromised, said Cornile. Outside consultants are continuing to investigate the attack. Cornile praised faculty and staff who stepped up in every way to keep the college moving forward during our most recent crisis. The board's approval of the agriculture program is only the first step. The new degree still needs the approval of the Illinois Community College Board and the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Once approved, agriculture students will be able to pursue short-term micro-certificates, longer-term occupational certificates, and a 60-credit-hour Associate of Applied Science degree under a career and technical education curriculum approved by the board. The associate's degree program is designed to combine several general education and core classes with hands-on experience. The hands-on experience would occur while earning occupational certificates in agriculture business, agronomy, or precision agriculture. Students in the associate's degree program also would earn a certificate in regenerative agriculture, which focuses on organic, locally sourced products and principles involving plants and animals. The 3-credit-hour micro-certificates are for a commercial applicator's license and for UAV commercial pilot license. The 2 micro-certificates are designed to prepare students to take the necessary tests for those licenses. In other business, the board approved issuing up to $10.1 million in debt certificates for capital and technology projects. The borrowing is designed in a way that will not increase the overall tax rate of the district. The board also indicated an intent to levy what is called an equity tax for the 2020 tax year. Eligibility to levy the equity tax is based on a complex formula that includes property values, enrollment, and how its tax rate compares to other community college districts. The board will formally vote on the levy later. Jim Drew of Lincoln was seated as a trustee to complete the term of Greg Chadwick, who died in September. Drew's term will end in April. He served one elected term on the board from 2011 through 2017 and also was appointed to fill a vacancy from November 2018 to April 2019. Crime Stoppers, woman wanted for aggravated DUI. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who is wanted for felony charges. Cynthia M. DeJanes, 36, is 5 feet 7 inches tall and weighs 140 pounds. She has blonde hair and blue eyes. Her last known address is in Bloomington, Illinois. DeJanes is wanted for aggravated DUI. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To report this or any other crime, please call Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. Child porn charges filed. 11 child pornography charges are pending against a Bloomington man. According to the charges signed by McLean County Grand Jury, Drake L.I. Rivera, 22, knowingly and unlawfully filmed, videotaped, or otherwise depicted or portrayed a minor child who Rivera knew or reasonably should have known to be a child under the age of 18, engaging in sexual acts between January 1, 2019 and February 20, 2019 in Bloomington. 9 of the counts are charged as Class X felonies and indicate the defendant was involved in the sexual acts. The remaining 2 are Class 1 felonies and indicate he was not involved in the sexual acts depicted in the pornography. A warrant for his arrest was issued on July 15th, and Rivera was taken into custody on this case on Tuesday. On the warrant, he was listed as a Bloomington resident, but court documents indicate his current address is an Illinois Department of Corrections facility in Lincoln. The probable cause statement was not read in court Tuesday, so further details about this case were not available. Rivera's bond was set at $1 million, with 10% to apply when the warrant was issued, and Judge Scott Cording did not lower the bond during the hearing on Tuesday. Rivera was ordered not to have contact with any minor child or the victim named in this case, and arraignment was scheduled for November 6th. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for October 21st, 2020. Please stay tuned.